Section 2, Cultural Innovations, An American Story. On May 20, 1927, a lanky, sandy-haired young man named Charles Lindbergh took off from an airfield on Long Island, New York, in a small, single-engine plane called the Spirit of St. Louis, and headed east across the Atlantic Ocean. The next evening, more than 33 hours after Lindbergh left New York, thousands of people waited anxiously at the small Le Bourget airfield outside Paris, France. Attention was riveted on the sky, and the spectators strained their eyes as they watched Lindbergh's small plane softly slip out of the darkness. When the plane landed, the crowd ecstatically greeted the pilot, who had just completed a historic event, the first solo nonstop flight across the Atlantic Ocean. In an era when people questioned ideals and heroes, Lindbergh's historic flight symbolized American progress in the modern age. And his solo triumph restored America's belief in the courageous, pioneering individual. American writer F. Scott Fitzgerald said of Lindbergh, "A young Minnesotan who seemed to have nothing to do with his generation did a heroic thing, and for the moment people set down their glasses in country clubs and speakeasies and thought of their old dreams." Quoted in Echoes of the Jazz Age. Art and Literature. The modern age, symbolized by Lindbergh's historic transatlantic flight, was reflected strongly in American art, literature, and popular culture. During the 1920s, American artists and writers challenged traditional ideas. These artists explored what it meant to be modern, and they searched for meaning in the emerging challenges of the modern world. Greenwich Village and the South Side. Many artists, writers, and intellectuals of the era flocked to Manhattan's Greenwich Village and Chicago's South Side. As writer Brooks Atkinson noted in a memoir, "The village was no prude. No matter what you did, you could hardly be conspicuous. On my street, the middle-aged lady in knickers who aired her cat on a pink ribbon twice a day, and the rosy-cheeked damsel in overalls who split kindling wood on the sidewalk were hardly more conspicuous than the formal citizenry. To become conspicuous, you would probably have to shoot someone in the street." From New York's Greenwich Village. The artistic and unconventional, or bohemian, lifestyle of these neighborhoods offered young artists and writers new lifestyles. Modern American art. European art movements greatly influenced the modernists of American art. Perhaps the most striking was the diverse range of artistic styles, each attempting to express the individual modern experience. Taking his cue from the bold and colorful impressionism of French artist Paul Cézanne, American painter John Marin drew on nature as well as the urban dynamics of New York for inspiration, explaining, "The whole city is alive. Buildings, people, all are alive, and the more they move me, the more I feel them to be alive." Painter Charles Sheeler applied the influences of photography and the geometric forms of cubism to urban and rural American landscapes. Edward Hopper revived the visual accuracy of realism in his haunting scenes. His painting conveyed a modern sense of disenchantment and isolation. Poets and writers. Poets and writers of the 1920s varied greatly in their styles and subject matter. Chicago poet Carl Sandburg used common speech to glorify the Midwest and the expansive nature of American life. In Greenwich Village, Edna St. Vincent Millay expressed women's freedom and equality and praised a life intensely lived. "My candle burns at both ends. It will not last the night. But ah, my foes, and oh, my friends, it gives a lovely light." From The Modern Temper. Several poets of this time had an important impact on the literary culture. Gertrude Stein, for example, was supposed to have been able to make or break a writer's career with a few well-placed remarks. Poets such as Ezra Pound, Amy Lowell, and William Carlos Williams used clear, concise images to express moments in time. Some poets concentrated on what they considered the negative effects of modernism. In his poem, The Hollow Men, for example, T.S. Eliot described a world filled with empty dreams and hollow men, and he foresaw a world that would end not with a bang, but a whimper. Among playwrights, one of the most innovative was Eugene O'Neill. His plays, filled with bold artistry and modern themes, portrayed realistic characters and situations, offering a vision of life that sometimes touched on the tragic. Many novelists affected by the experience of World War I wrote about disillusionment and reevaluated the myths of American heroes. They often created characters who were heroic anti-heroes, flawed individuals who still had heroic qualities of mind and spirit. Ernest Hemingway, who served as an ambulance driver in Italy during World War I, was one such writer. His fiction presented a new literary style, characterized by direct, simple, and concise prose, as when he wrote about the war in A Farewell to Arms. John Dos Passos, a critic of America's capitalist culture, experimented with the form of the novel in his innovative trilogy, USA, which combined fiction, biography, news headlines, and prose poems. Sinclair Lewis wrote about the absurdities of traditional life in small-town America in his novels, Main Street and Babbitt. F. Scott Fitzgerald, perhaps the most famous writer of the era, created colorful, glamorous characters who chased feudal dreams in The Great Gatsby, a novel that poignantly exposed the emptiness and superficiality of much of modern society. Reading check. Examining. Why did many artists, writers, and intellectuals flock to New York City's Greenwich Village and Chicago's South Side during the 1920s? Popular culture. The economic prosperity of the 1920s provided many Americans with more leisure time and more spending money, which they devoted to making their lives more enjoyable. Millions of Americans eagerly watched and participated in sports and enjoyed music, theater, and other forms of popular entertainment. They also fell in love with radio shows and motion pictures. Baseball, boxing, and other sports. Thanks to radio and motion pictures, sports such as baseball and boxing reached new heights of popularity in the 1920s. Baseball star Babe Ruth became a national hero, famous for hitting hundreds of home runs. As one broadcaster later remarked, he wasn't a baseball player, he was a worldwide celebrity, an international star, the likes of which baseball has never seen since. Sports fans also idolized boxer Jack Dempsey. Dempsey held the title of world heavyweight champion from 1919 until 1926 when he lost it to Gene Tunney. When Dempsey attempted to win back the title in 1927, fans' enthusiasm for the rematch reached such a frenzy that one store sold $90,000 worth of radios, an incredible sum at the time, in the 2 weeks before the event. Americans eagerly followed other sports and sports figures, too. Newspaper coverage helped generate enthusiasm for college football. One of the most famous players of the 1920s was Red Grange of the University of Illinois. Grange was known as the Galloping Ghost because of his speed and ability to evade members of opposing teams. Millions of sports fans also were thrilled by the achievements of Bobby Jones, the best golfer of the decade, and tennis players Bill Tilden and Helen Wills, who dominated world tennis. In 1926, Jones became the first golfer to win the U.S. Open and the British Open in the same year. In 1927, swimmer Gertrude Ederle enchanted Americans when she shattered records by swimming the English Channel in a little over 14 hours. The rise of Hollywood. Although sports became increasingly popular in the 1920s, nothing quite matched the allure of motion pictures. Technology had not yet made sound possible in films, so theaters hired piano players to provide music during the feature, while subtitles revealed the plot. Audiences thronged to see such stars as Mary Pickford, Charlie Chaplin, Tom Mix, Douglas Fairbanks, Gloria Swanson, Rudolph Valentino, and Clara Bow. In 1927, the first talking picture, The Jazz Singer, was produced, and the golden age of Hollywood began. Popular radio shows and music. Radio also enjoyed a large following during the jazz age. In 1920, in one of the first commercial radio broadcasts in history, listeners of the station KDKA in Pittsburgh learned the news of Warren G. Harding's landslide victory in the presidential election. Within 2 years, Americans could turn the dial to 22 different radio stations around the country. Most stations in the 1920s played the popular music of the day, such as Yes, We Have No Bananas and Lover Come Back Again. Broadcasts such as the Ever Ready Hour offered everything from classical music to comedy. In one of the most popular radio shows, Amos and Andy, the trials and tribulations of two African-American characters, portrayed by white actors, captured the nation's attention every evening. The mass media, radio, movies, newspapers, and magazines, aimed at a broad audience, did more than just entertain. Their easy availability to millions helped break down patterns of provincialism or narrow focus on local interests. They fostered a sense of shared national experience that helped unify the nation and spread the new ideas and attitudes of the time. Reading check. Summarizing, how did the American economy of the 1920s affect popular culture? Looking back, religious freedom in the United States. Why it matters. During the summer of 1925, a young teacher, John Scopes, was put on trial for teaching evolution in defiance of Tennessee law. The Scopes trial involved more than a debate between science and religion. It also involved the constitutional principle of the separation of church and state. This principle is based on the First Amendment, which states that the federal government cannot establish an official religion or interfere with a person's right to practice a religion. In 1926, an appeals court upheld Tennessee's law. In 1968, however, the United States Supreme Court ruled that laws banning the teaching of evolution were unconstitutional because they indirectly helped to establish an official religion. From early colonial times, Americans have struggled to preserve their right to worship as they choose and to define the proper relationship between the church and the government. Steps to religious freedom. The American tradition of religious freedom began in the 1600s. England's government persecuted people who did not worship in the manner required by the Church of England. Among the persecuted were Puritans, Catholics, and Quakers, many of whom moved to America in search of religious freedom. Colonial beginnings. In 1620, the Pilgrims established the Plymouth Colony so that they could practice their faith freely. 10 years later, thousands of Puritans, led by John Winthrop, established the colony of Massachusetts. In 1634, Lord Baltimore established Maryland as a refuge for Catholics fleeing persecution. And in 1681, William Penn, a Quaker, founded Pennsylvania, promising religious tolerance to all who settled there. Church and state. At first, the Massachusetts Puritans did not practice separation of church and state. Instead, they enacted policies that promoted the Puritan faith. For example, taxes supported the Puritan churches, laws required citizens to attend church, and only church members were allowed to vote. People who expressed ideas contrary to the Puritan beliefs could be banished. In the 1630s, Massachusetts banished many people for their religious beliefs, including Roger Williams and Anne Hutchinson. Williams, Hutchinson, and others joined together to create the colony of Rhode Island, where church and state were kept separate and the government did not try to coerce religious belief. Meanwhile, in 1639, settlers in Connecticut adopted the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut. These orders allowed non-church members to vote. The Great Awakening. During the early 1700s, a period of religious revivalism known as the Great Awakening strengthened the idea of religious freedom. Ministers began preaching the importance of each individual's commitment to faith. The Great Awakening divided many congregations and led to the rise of the Baptists and Presbyterians. It also led to greater religious tolerance. By the time of the American Revolution, the idea of freedom of religion was widely accepted in the American colonies. The Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom. In 1786, shortly after the American Revolution, Virginia passed the Statute for Religious Freedom. Its author, Thomas Jefferson, believed religious toleration to be one of the most important aspects of a free society. The Virginia Statute stated that all men shall be free to profess their opinion in matters of religions, and that the same shall in no wise affect their civil capacities. A constitutional guarantee. American leaders guaranteed religious freedom in the new U.S. Constitution. The First Amendment states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. This sentence consists of two parts. The Establishment Clause forbids the federal government from creating an official religion or supporting religious activities. The Free Exercise Clause forbids the government from suppressing freedom of religious worship. Continuing issues. Like many other ideas in the Constitution, the idea of religious freedom has been reinterpreted over time. In the 1879 case Reynolds versus the United States, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that freedom of religion is not absolute. Religious practices that violate the law or undermine the public interest, the court declared, were not protected by the First Amendment. One of the most controversial issues has been the role of religion in the public schools. In 1962, in Engle versus Vitale, the court ruled that the states could not require official prayers to be recited in schools. In 1963, in Abingdon School District versus Shemp, the court also ruled out daily Bible readings in schools. In 1990, however, the court ruled that student groups could study the Bible and pray together because they were private individuals, not school officials. With religion an integral part of many Americans' lives, the nation continues to grapple with the problem of balancing freedom of religion with the need to avoid federal support of a particular church.